Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1735, Richard and Sonia West.
This is an application for conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an airport and heliport to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 28.55 acres, more or less, lying 900 feet northwest of Route 17, 48 hundredths of a mile northeast of Road 370, also known as Daisy Road, and with access from a 60-foot private road. For the benefit of the commission, I'm passing down copies of the survey and site plan. It's also included in the booklet, but it's a little bit larger. The commission was provided with a copy of an exhibit booklet provided by and on behalf of the applicant from Fuquay and Urey Professional Association. It is a part of the record. It includes supplemental information on the application, makes reference to the zoning, the comprehensive plan. It relates to the mobility element and evacuation. There's also a letter from the Department of Transportation, Office of Aeronautics, an Aviation Advisory Committee support letter, copy of the tax map, a Delaware bicycle map, a site plan, an aerial photo, reference to the traffic impact study not being required, and proposed conditions. And as I stated, that is a part of the record. We received a letter from the Department of Transportation dated March 31st, making reference to this application, asking us to enter these comments into the record on behalf of the Delaware Department of Transportation Office of Aeronautics. References the applicant, the conditional use number, and the proposed application. States that DelDOT's Office of Aeronautics is responsible for planning and support of public use airports in Delaware. While this application represents a private use airport, it still has an effect on the efficiency of the Delaware aviation system. Delaware is currently updating the State of Delaware Aviation System Plan, and the issue of airports in the coastal Sussex area has been analyzed and discussed with our Delaware Aviation Advisory Committee. The Delaware Aviation Advisory Committee supports the existence of West Airport because of its location and support of current and future air traffic demands. DelDOT offers the following comments. Coastal Sussex County does not currently have adequate airport availability, meaning within 30 minutes drive. Delaware supports the conditional use request of West Airport as it supports various aviation-related businesses within Sussex County and provides access to others doing business in coastal Sussex. Due to increasingly dense development and high land prices, there is little possibility of a new Greenfield Airport being developed. DelDOT would like to preserve this existing resource in our aviation system. DelDOT would support a new public use airport in the coastal Sussex area. And it makes reference to any questions or comments being directed to a certain individual and provides a phone number. We also received from Department of Transportation a support facilities report. This report was dated June 22nd of 2006. Makes reference to the AR zoning and the conditional use application. Makes reference to West Airport Road and makes reference to Route 370 or 370A. And states there's only 25 vehicles per day. That may be the wrong road location. A traffic impact study is not recommended. The present level of service is level of service A, and states that there will be no change in level of service. There was also a comment back on the same application in October 26th of 2005, which basically made the same comments. from the Suscano County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We had received comments on April 9th of 2008 in reference to this application. The site is located in the Roxana planning area. Wastewater capacity is not applicable at this time. The proposed conditional use would use an on-site septic. The project is not capable of being annexed into the county-operated sanitary sewer district. If and when county provides sewer service, connection to the system would be mandatory. The county does not have a schedule to provide sewer service at this time, and a concept plan is not required, and that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. From the Sussex Conservation District and dated April 7th and received on April 9th, we are advised that this site contains two soil types, one being Berryland Mucky Loamy Sand and the other being Mullica Berryland Complex. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation if there was any construction. That there are no storm flood hazard areas affected. It may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. The applicant would be required to follow recommended state sediment and stormwater requirements, and a tax ditch could be affected. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared showing the area, a copy of a soil map showing the site and the area immediately adjacent. There's also a soil report with a map legend on the soil types, and also a copy of a report on prime and other important farmlands. Today we received a petition with 9 signatures. I passed down copies to the commissioner just for reference. It states, we, the undersigned, support the farm family of Richard and Sonia West in their efforts to continue their farm, airstrip, heliport operations, helping other farmers and Sussex County residents as they have for the past 34 years. And there were 9 signatures. On the opposite side, we did receive yesterday a booklet from Hudson Jones, J. Work and Fisher, LLC, a law firm here in Georgetown, and signed by David Weidman, attorney. And in reference to opposition to this application, it makes reference to a violation notice. It provides some mapping, some aerial photographs. I'm assuming to be that this site's in a flyway for the ducks and geese in the area. There's also a photograph of snow geese in the area, an accident database analysis, sound level analysis, and a copy of the future land use map for the proposed comprehensive plan, and also a copy of the state strategies and for policies and spending map from the land use plan. That is also a part of the record. The commissioners have copies of those also. We received petitions. Appears to be all dated the 2nd of April. There were 51 signatures in opposition, and there are also 5 letters in opposition. They are part of the record, and again, Shane made copies of these for the benefit of the commission and Mr. Roberts. And rather than read all the names and the letters, they are part of the record, and the commissioners do have those now in front of them. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. The chair recognizes Mr. Willard.
Good evening, gentlemen. Tim Willard, 2824 with Fuqua and Yori here on the Circle in Georgetown.
We have you on file.
Yeah, my number. I represent the applicants for conditional use 1735. The applicants are Richard and Sonia West. They're here, I believe, with their daughter. Both daughters? Both daughters. Two daughters. All their children are here. It's a conditional use application for 28 acres of land that's located just east of Roxana to have an airstrip and a heliport, specifically a 75 by 100 concrete pad. At the outset, I should say, and you heard the Department of Transportation letter, which you also have in my booklet, that they recognize this as an existing private airport. There are maps that Delaware produces that recognizes it as West Airport. It's actually been operated as it is, as it has been, for over 30 years, largely as an airstrip for aerial application, also known as crop dusting. And you'll hear tonight from Alan and perhaps his son, Corman, who use that pretty extensively just a small portion of the year. It's April and May, a couple weeks, where they service that area, and then at the end of the summer. You'll hear from them, it's an important landing strip to get down there to service that area. The location of the property specifically, and I may refer to some tabs here, my book, not David Wideman's. They're similar. This is the battle of the booklets tonight, gentlemen. But the location is just east of Roxana, right off 17, maybe closer to Millville. It's actually north of 17 and east of Daisy Road. There are other maps in here I'll refer to that'll help you locate where it is. The application, as I said, is for a conditional use. You heard Mr. Lank refer to a violation that Mr. Wideman had in his book. Now, I said I wasn't going to refer to his book, but I am. But anyway, in tab one of his book, he includes that. A couple of years ago, Mr. West received a notice that he needs to file. In fact, the language is, you must file for a conditional use. And that is what he's done, and that's what's before you. We're not here tonight on a non-conforming issue. I just want to make that clear that if he's got rights in those regards, we'll certainly reserve that. This is a conditional use application, and he was directed to do that by your office. The use is in an agricultural residential district, and I submit to you that the use is wholly consistent with that district. Tab 1 of the booklet I submitted indicates the purpose of an AR1 district is to provide for the full range of agricultural activities, which includes accessory uses as may be necessary and normal. As long as there have been planes, there have been crop dusting, and I don't need to tell the commission how important agriculture is to this part of the state. Airports and heliports, or modest landing facilities such as this, are a permitted conditional use in your AR district, and that's I've included that language there. Specifically as to conditional use, you know the standard, but for the record, I want to spell it out. I disagree adamantly with Mr. Wideman that this use is not and has not been for the last 30 years a public use or semi-public, and to the extent that it services the agricultural community in that area. In addition, it has been made available and has been used for, not extensively, but it's there for medevac operations, that is helicopters that take people, transport them out there to go to Christiana or whatever. The police have used it occasionally. They know it's there. It's located on the FAA maps, and it can be used for that purpose. And I'll talk more about some other public uses that actually are contemplated by your comp plan. As to your comp plan, we believe likewise that this is wholly consistent with your existing comp plan. That is the use we propose, and in fact, the use that has been there for some time. I've included in tab 2 a blurry picture of the comp plan, but just south of Millville there on 17 is where the land is. I think what's striking about this, and you gentlemen know this county so well, you know that it is somewhat isolated to the extent there's a bay north and a bay south and 13 on the other side. And as you'll hear from an official from DelDOT tonight, that it's a very desirable area for such a modest airfield because of this location in this part of Sussex that's somewhat isolated. The low density district of your comp plan kind of parrots or parallels your ag district, which calls for a full range of agricultural uses, agricultural and related uses. This is in the guidelines for non-residential uses and related uses. They also point to residential use in that area, and we believe that having an airport or a landing use such as this can complement the residential use out there. It's the residential use out there is modest. It's low density. It's not Route 1. It's not some of the subdivision areas, which actually is a better place for it. You wouldn't want to put an airstrip, obviously, in the middle of a subdivision. This one already has been operating for years. Another element of your comp plan, which we, or me representing applicants, do not get to turn to and rely on too much, is the mobility element. But in general, I think it's interesting to point out that your mobility element in your comp plan calls for a look at future transportation services. So in the future, 2010, 20, 30, 40, if you have a modest airstrip there, at least can be a potential for perhaps a more useful use, reference residential and less crop dusting perhaps. You see also that your comp plan in the mobility element calls for enhance the integration and connectivity of the transportation system across and between modes of people and freight. A strategy is to expand travel alternatives beyond the automobile where feasible and appropriate to provide comprehensive transportation. And although I again use the word modest, this certainly does touch on that desire of your comp plan. Your comp plan also has an evacuation plan. And this was interesting. I think you'll hear from Bobby Geyer, who's involved with the committee at DLDOT in transportation. But it's an important element for the state and the Department of Transportation to consider every option in the event of a serious emergency, whether that's weather or one of the other ones we hear a lot about lately.
A hurricane or a tornado, are we going to take an airplane to get out of here then?
Well, no, but the aftermath, if it's necessary, Mr. Chairman, to get medical supplies in and things like that. And Mr. West actually has flown medical supplies, so I touch on that right now to South American countries. But that is a real possibility. And this is a location where you're either getting rid of people or taking in needed supplies, that it's there, exists. It's already on the FAA maps. So I know, just an aside, I was camping with a bunch of Boy Scouts at Holt's Landing, and I had one of them broke his thumb. And we weren't going to medevac him or anything, but we made the executive decision to get him to a hospital. And this wasn't during the summertime where you had to go fight Route 113 or Route 1. But, an hour plus later, we got him out through Bethany and took him up to BB. But it really struck me that it is kind of an area there that if there was a serious emergency, you would need to get in and out quick.
Did he have a good personal injury attorney?
Well, this kid hit him with a stick, and I don't know if he was provoked, so I didn't go there. What the application is itself, is to be clear, is for what exists there, and you have the site plan of it. That is an airstrip with a pad. It's 100 by 74 to be able to land airplanes there. It's private. You heard that DLDOT had some future idea that this might be something that could turn pop. We just want to, I think, in hearing some opposition to this beforehand, it seemed that things were spinning out of control a little bit, because he wants to do what has been done there in the past and actually limit it to, it's a private airport. He decides who comes in and out. What I've learned from getting to know the West a little bit, this is sort of a family affair. He's got a pilot's license, has for years. She does too. They've been married for 43 years. I think one of their daughters has a pilot's license, and she flies big planes. And then none of those are coming in here, I don't think. She flies C-8s, so, and to bag C-5s. C-5s. See, I don't know what I'm talking about. But so it's been sort of a family affair as far as airplanes. And a lot of the planes that come in and out, if it's not Alan Corman spraying crops, might be a friend or two of them. And likewise with the helicopters. If you look at tab 4, doesn't do much, but it's a tax plan. It shows you where the site's located. I don't know if I marked all of them. It's a skinny strip of land that's 28 acres. Tab 5, actually, this is the Delaware Bicycle Council map, but it's one map that indicates that West Airport is located, and it shows you the actual road location off of the Roxana Road and Daisy Road is right there. But the state of Delaware's map has it on there. You have it, tab 6, the actual site plan. It's broken up, and you got the bigger one. You'll see the strip is 3,000 feet long and about 75 feet wide. It's grass, and that's how they maintain it. And also that property's in crop. So and Mr. West is a farmer, so he keeps, I don't know if he does personally, but there's crops around that. There are two access points. There's a 60-foot right-of-way coming from 17, and if he has to bring farm equipment in there, that's how he comes. And there's 15-foot access coming in from off of West Airport Road. There's a road named West Airport Road, and that's used more frequently just to get out to the property otherwise without farm equipment. But you have the site. It's very simple. It's a very simple site plan. He's not asking for anything more. He's not asking to build a clubhouse or anything like that. And that's it at tab 6. Tab 7, everybody likes Google Earth these days, but it's helpful, and sometimes you'll see several maps. The middle one, which is hopefully circled in all of yours, shows actually the airstrip. It's the lighter portion in the middle of that circle and the little pad next to it. It gives you some idea, and I imagine there are residences here that live in these houses that are around here, but it gives you some idea that these are country houses. There are chicken houses over there, a few, looks like a couple horse tracks run around there. Not very dense at all. And you have a closer up aerial photograph of that. Shows a little wooded portions there, but you can see where, and you know that that's 3,000 feet. You can see where the closest houses are as far as that, and I submit to you they're not real close. You've learned that there's no traffic impact study that was required based on this. You have the DelDOT letter. I keep saying DelDOT, but it's from DelDOT, but the aviation department. And that's at tab 3. I'd like to, at this point, call Bobby Geyer up.
Sure.
I don't usually call witnesses, but I just have a couple in this one.
The floor is yours.
Ms. Geyer, can you state your name fairly for the commission?
Bobby Geyer with the Delaware Department of Transportation, the Division of Planning, and we also have the Office of Aeronautics.
And you wrote a letter to the commission, which they have in their possession. Did you hear that saying?
Yes, I did.
And is it your official position that you support this application for a conditional use?
Yes, we do. I am involved with the Delaware Aviation Advisory Committee. In our system planning for public use airports, we identified that the southeast corner of the county needed some airspace or some place for aircraft to land because there are several entities that come in and out, and with the tourism business and agribusiness, this is the kind of airstrip that we would like to see become public use. And being a public use airport, we do provide safety and security inspections. For private use, we are not mandated to do anything. So I want to make that clear up front. I know Mr. Izzo, and even with Mr. Lank, we've had several conversations about identifying different landing areas in the county for helicopters and other aircraft, or specifically helicopters, because they land now illegally in areas of the county to bring in development personnel. So we support this as just another area that is a safe area for not only for the agricultural spraying operations, but also for helicopters landing.
Thank you. Mr. Corman?
Good
need to state your name and address for the record.
I'm Alan Corman, Melton, Delaware. We own Alan Corman and son, along with my son, Ariel Spran. We have Oakles Airport and Corman's Airport at Greenwood, and I'm also on the Airport Advisory Committee. And I've known Richard and Sonia for 30-something years. They're really nice people. They're aviation-oriented. Their daughter flies for the Air Force, the C-5, which Tim told you. Richard and Sonia both fly. Richard's flown supplies to Haiti, done a lot of missionary work. He's flown heart patients to Wisconsin. And all that was, you know, to donate all of his time. We've operated out of his airport for, Richard, I guess 30-some years. And several farmers are here tonight. The only one's not here is Cliff Murray from Subbyville. He couldn't make it tonight. But there's some farmers here that we support, and they support us. And it's the only airport we have in the whole area down there to fly out of. We did have Raymond Townsend's Field, but it was sold to Indy River School District. So we used that for several years. And in conjunction with Richards, when we were further south, we'd use Richards, and we use Millsboro area, we'd use Townsend's. But that's been sold. So this is the only airport anywhere in that whole area that that's available for us to use. And with $5 a gallon gas, I mean, we could never ferry from Melton. The closest airport we'd have would be on Sand Hill Road here at Melton. And we could never afford to ferry that far. We burn 40 gallons an hour at $5 a gallon now. And we'd have to be somewhere close to that area. So it's imperative for us to serve the farmers in that area to have that airport. It's just imperative, that's all.
Mr. Corman, let me ask you a couple questions. How often, when you're servicing that the farms in that area, how often and for how long do you fly out of Mr. West?
About twice a year. We're not in there all year long. About the end of April, 1st of May, when we're spraying wheat with fungicides for about a two-week period. And then in July, with the ethanol-driven, corn-driven by ethanol now, we're there in July probably for about 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks at the most, I guess. But everybody now is spraying all the corn with fungicides, which is something relatively new in the last 3 years. For yield increase and standability, the corn stands up good with disease-free with the fungicides. And it's something that's really, really working. A lot of things we've used over the years is snake oil, new things, but this is not. So this is here to stay. A lot of the wheat will be sprayed with fungicides and corn and soybeans in the future. So it's increased our business, you know, quite a bit. But we're still there about 2 weeks in July and about 2 weeks into April or May. We're not there all year long. We're not there that much, really, but we're just a short periods of time. But we do work out of there. When we do a lot of work out of there, but a short period of time.
And when you're servicing down there, you fly for an hour or so and then have to refill your treatment?
Yeah, about 45 minutes to an hour load. So probably landing 6, 7, 8 landings a day, sometimes 10, but that's unusual if less the wind conditions and everything are right. I mean, normally we operate now there with one airplane, sometimes two, but we got 7 airplanes, ag planes, but we only operate 2 out of there, but one mainly.
Thanks, sir.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be available for questions, obviously.
Yeah. Great, thanks. Okay.
Just to touch on some of the points Mr. Weidman made in some of your other letters, I think, and I've already touched on them, but just to re-summarize, he indicates it's a violation, and clearly there's a violation in your record, but now you have a little bit of history of this property. I think the county's records indicated there was a lack of record, so they filed a conditional use, and that's what we're doing. They indicate also that this is a AR1, not appropriate for this use, and it's low density. We beg to differ, in fact, quite the opposite. In addition to the agricultural use, that is the aerial application, a modest use just for residential visitors, I think, is wholly appropriate as well. with this kind of volume. Mr. Weidman speaks of fatality and noise are issues that are increased with an airport. Number one, this use has been there for all these years, and as far as his premise or argument that an airport increases the risk of noise and fatalities, he's got me there. I mean, that's just a reality. But I think you know our proposal is not to put in, you know, a BWI there. I can't speak to his comments about the geese other than to say the footnote that he's provided in reference that that seems to be a problem at airports. I talked to, I don't know if it was Ms. Grier or something, saying it's a lot of times in big airports that are in more congested city areas, the geese all go there because it's a large open space. And I think there are plenty of places for the geese to go other than this airfield in Sussex County. They spend some time talking about why not Sussex Airport, which is a jewel for the county, but it's a different kind of jewel. It is, in fact, an industrial element. It is being developed as a much more aggressive economic tool to facilitate industry on a broader scope. This is not. This conditional use is in a very special place and serves a very special service, and I think is appropriate for the conditional use. The location I already spoke to is very important about the isolation. He indicated, that is Mr. Weidman in his letter, that this is in a level 4 which calls for no development. This isn't the kind of development that level 4 would oppose, in that it would increase density. On the contrary, for the reasons previously stated, it would help facilitate the transportation system. We're not asking to put more people there. So that's the application. You have the site plan. We've offered some conditions because the people that live in that neighborhood and the residential people, you know, obviously have a right to live in quiet enjoyment in an agricultural community. And some of the conditions we've recommended are: any landings or planes of helicopters shall be limited to hours 6 to 10 p.m. All lighting on runways and helicopters shall be limited to those necessary for directional purposes. The airport and heliport shall be for private use unless approved for public use by state and federal aviation laws, which is a whole nother ball of wax, I'm sure. The air landing field shall not be used for any planes towing banners that seem to be a concern with the residents. No storage of fuel or hazardous material shall be stored on the property unless in accordance with the state and federal laws and regulations. The applicant shall provide heliport and landing field permission to all emergency police and medevac agencies upon request. And finally, I think maybe the most important, because we don't want to leave volume open-ended, and I think maybe that's what neighbors are concerned about. No more than 9 plane landings a day, except during aerial applications.
Pull that mic up a little.
No more than 9 aerial or airplane landings a day, except during the aerial applications, the crop dusting. And there is one time a year where the Wests entertain a lot of their flight buddies, one day a year, where there may be more than that, 10 or 20. Because these people have bonded over the years, and they get together for sort of a rendezvous. I put that in there, and this isn't with the copy you have, and we've discussed this, and it seems reasonable. And as far as helicopters, landings no more than 2 per week, and if that's a condition that is imposed or one similar to it, that's obviously something that would be the law of that land. Mr. West, I'm sorry.
I just want to understand that you're 2 landings per week. Are you saying 2 landings, non-emergency, non-police, or just 2 landings, period?
No, it's non-emergency, outside of that provision. I mean, yeah.
Right. So you're just saying 2 landings per week for whatever purpose, and...
Well, he would control that, and whether somebody calls him and a friend says, can I land there? If he's used up his 2 for that week, he'd be done.
Right.
Yeah.
But if the state police want to land there, what are you going to do then?
They're more than welcome.
Mr. West, you want to come forward? I suppose they can land anywhere they want to, but
that's sort of what I was thinking. I wasn't sure what you were telling me. I was trying to figure out if you were suggesting that you were going to restrict emergency.
No, use. That was not the intent at all. And if that's a problem, you know, the volume of the state police landing there or anybody like that, I suppose he could restrict it. I mean, that wasn't our intent. It certainly hasn't, the volume hasn't been that great. It's just a nice thing to have on call. It's been rather
spread. How often do the state police use it now?
Occasionally, not weekly. Richard West, owner and operator of the West Airport.
That tape machine over there doesn't recognize you, so you have to tell it who you are, okay?
Yes.
We see you, but it doesn't. Anyway, go ahead.
The question was, how many times does the state police use it?
Yeah.
Whenever they want. That would be my answer.
But historically, how often has that been?
Maybe once a month.
Okay.
There's been many accidents at Daisy Intersection.
Right.
And they have landed there waiting for things to be cleared.
I'm just curious.
Yes.
While you're up here, Mr. Weston, I'm finished. Is there anything you've heard my representations to the commission as to your conditional use application? Are they true and correct?
They are.
Do you have anything you want to add? And they may have some questions, but
no. As Tim said, I have been operating out of there for some 34 years, and like to continue operating out of there. I open it up to the public only if they call and ask me. I do keep tabs on what's going on. I do have a log book when people fly in. I make them sign, give me the end number of their airplane, a telephone in which I can reach them if needed. So I do know what's happening out there.
Okay.
Over the 34 years, there was some questions about accidents. In 34 years, we have never had a fatality at my airport. Not many people can say that. But we have never had a fatality. I do operate the airport. I own part of the land around it, the 28 acres we're talking about. I do farm all the land that I've farmed for 34 years. I still farm that land. I am a farmer also. Yes.
Thank you. They may have questions. That's all we have if y'all.
All right. Well, if you guys would stick around for a minute, this you, Mr. Willard. We'll see if anybody on the commission has any questions for you. I suspect they do. No, it's not your turn yet. It's our turn, okay? These gentlemen up here want to ask a few questions first, if you don't mind, if that's okay. Thank you. Okay. We're going to start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for your presentation, Mr. Willard. I think it cleared up a lot of questions I had and created some, so forgive me if I'm being redundant, but I want to get a better handle on the historical use of this. You said it's been an ongoing operation, as was documented by the different maps and designations of it being called West Airport. There's a road out there called Airport Road for some 34 years. Is that correct?
Mr. West, come on up.
No, sir. That road has not been called Airport Road for 34 years.
Sorry for the confusion. I mean, there's a road out there. You're on the maps.
Yes.
And you've been flying out of there for 34
years.
Yes.
The road was actually named, and I'm going to say roughly 5 or 6 years ago when the state started naming roads. At that point is when the name became West Airport Road. Yes.
And that, Mr. Lank, that 34 years ago, this use was permitted, or was there was no zoning in effect that Mr. West would have had to have
There's been
with?
Zoning in effect since October 1968.
Okay.
We had an interim ordinance until January 1st of 1971, when we then established the comprehensive zoning ordinance that we basically used today in different formats, but the same ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a public hearing to use this site for an airport.
Mm-hmm. So everything had been going along maybe swimmingly. No accidents. You were subsidizing to a small extent the ag community by allowing crop dusters to come.
Correct.
And then you got a violation notice, what, about 3 years ago?
Actually, I think it was in the paper I read this morning stated 2005. I was sent a letter to apply for a helipad permit, not conditional use to the airport. And thinking that I was okay, I've had an airport since, you know, for all this time, I thought this must be a mistake. So I didn't respond to that. So a second letter came about a year later, and I did respond, and I did exactly what they asked me to do. And that's why we're here tonight.
All right, sir.
But Mr. Smith, the notice is in Mr. Weidman's Exhibit 1, if you want to look at it.
Right. No, I just wanted to bring it out on the record for the public. Thank you. And so this, the nature of your application, I will have to apologize for my ignorance because I'm a little bit confused. I thought that I was hearing that there was some request to sort of continue to use it as it is now on a somewhat limited basis, but I was hearing some references to it as being a business. I think in the DelDOT letter, I believe that Mr. Lank read mentioned that DelDOT supports aviation business, and that may be too strong a term for what you're doing, but I think that may it prompts a question from me and perhaps from some of the other people in attendance.
I can understand why you would ask that.
A business?
It is not a business. I have been operating out of there for 34 years. There has never been money exchanged. I have never charged anyone for using my airport, including Alan Corman. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was giving something back to the community since I did have an airport, that I could support my local farmers and myself mm-hmm. by having the airport. So there has never been any money, any charges made mm-hmm. over these years.
And I will say, while I don't know you personally, I've heard nothing but good about the efforts that you've done and the medevac and making things available, and applaud you for your service to the community. And hopefully when this commission makes a decision, some of the people here will applaud us and some won't, but we're trying to do a job, and I do appreciate your efforts.
You.
That aside, we're not judging you on those efforts. We're trying to make a land use decision, and that's why I need to ask some of these questions so I and possibly the other members of the commission can get a better scope for the ongoing activity. You would like it to remain somewhat the same?
Yes.
In trying to do a little homework for tonight's hearing, I accessed things through the internet, and one thing that came out in the research that I did during the afternoon, two things hit me square in the face. In all the public hearings that were coming before the various counties and municipalities that were making land use decisions, which my understanding is that the FAA subordinates decisions on things like this to the local jurisdiction, that they say we don't have we make no claims to be controlling this airspace, I guess, until it's deemed an appropriate use. The almost without exception, the applicant's response to the research was, I really don't see what the fuss is. I really don't get the big deal. And almost unanimous, the opposition would be from people citing noise, safety concerns, and property valuations going down. In almost every case, that people were saying, you know, we're afraid. Well, there will be accidents. There'll be some devastation. We don't like the noise, the disruption of our quiet enjoyment, and. You know, and the property values. And I thought, boy, it's kind of a conundrum because you've got people on one side saying, hey, there's this, and person on the other side saying, I really don't get what the big deal is. What, how, do you get a sense that this is a big deal, or do you wonder what the fuss is all about?
I think the biggest problem is people have been misled. because I actually received phone calls from people that did not sign the petition, and what they were telling me, that we were going to put a jet port in there and pave the runway. We were going to have a park in there for, like, big buildings for storage. And this was actually told to people, and I guess that's why so many signed the petition, because people did call and tell me this. And matter of fact, we have a retired state trooper here, and I'm going to use his name, Tom Troublefield. Tom was kind enough to call me. He said, "Richard, I'm hearing all these rumors. Can you tell me what the facts are?" So I said, "Tom, you know I've been flying out of there for 30-some years. I don't want any more or any less. I'm not expanding. I just want to continue serving the community as I have." So over those years, we have been recognized by the Federal Aviation. We're on all the charts, sectionals. If you pick up any federal chart, you'll see West Private Airport. If you go to the Department of Transportation, the Aviation Group, you will see that years ago, they gave me an identifier called DE-21. So the state says, "Here's an airport. We give you an identifier." That's been in place for some 20 years. So this is why it's shocking to me that all this has gotten blown out of proportion by some of the rumors, when really we just want to do what we've done for 30 some years. So I'm sorry that those people, and I'm sure all of them that signed the petition, maybe they wish they hadn't, because they were somewhat misled.
Let me ask you this. Now, this is something that I read in the research I was doing. Is your field termed a federally deeded?
No, it is not. No.
Is it termed a reliever field?
Not to my knowledge.
You're familiar with what a reliever field would be, something that I guess would accommodate overflow or spillage if, say, Georgetown or Salisbury
has never been designated that.
All right. Are you, sir, in any aviation type? I did hear about you would like to, according to the proposed conditions Mr. Willard submitted, you'd like to have a shindig once a year.
We have had a shindig. I belong to an organization called Flying Farmers, which was established after World War II. Farmers came home that were pilots. They were farmers that, you know, served in the military. They came home and they wanted to continue flying. So they formed an organization called Flying Farmers. We were 10,000 members strong in the United States. I'm a flying farmer also to this day. We have monthly meetings. We have fly-ins. We have conventions we go to far off. We have flown numerous states. There's not many states we haven't flown. And so to answer your question, this is what we're all about, is flying.
Are you in any other type organizations?
As far as aviation?
Aviation.
Yes, I do attend all the safety seminars, not all of them, the ones I can. I am actually not on any board for the aviation, no.
Are you familiar with a program called the Fly Neighborly Program?
No, I'm not, but I am the Eagle Program, and I have flown many young children and encouraged them to go to Deltec and such places as that to get their pilot certificate.
This Fly Neighborly program, my research seemed to indicate, was something that was put together by the Helicopter Association International, and that may lend itself, if a decision would tend to be rendered by this commission favorable, that seemed to be apropos for something.
I would be open to that.
With the issues of the geese and the wildlife and all, are you aware of any recommendations for minimum altitudes of flying over wildlife refuges?
Well, having owned that farm for 34 years and being a hunter myself, I have actually hunted that all over Sussex County as a goose hunter and a duck hunter, and I have never had a duck or a goose hit my airplane when I was landing, and to my knowledge, no one else has. But there are ducks and geese in the area, as there are here in Georgetown, and, you know, numerous places. but it's not a hazard.
Is there a regulation that requires you to fly above 2,000 feet when you're approaching the wildlife area?
There are regulations in wildlife areas. And one of the FAA regulations is you have to be 500 feet above any obstacle, person, or vessel. So at any time we're flying, we have to be 500 feet above those items, person, obstacle, or vessel, unless we're landing. When we're landing, of course, you're coming to the ground. That's the only time it's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, how about for helicopters?
Helicopters is the same thing. They follow the same regulations. They're federal regulations. We're regulated by the federal government of aeronautics.
Now, excluding the wildlife refuge, my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the expert, once a helicopter takes off, that there's no regulation that requires it to achieve a certain altitude.
If you're in controlled areas. If you're in controlled areas, yes, you have to go to certain altitudes. We are not controlled down in my area. A controlled area would be somewhere like Wilmington, Philadelphia, New York, Washington, Baltimore. They're controlled areas. Now, as we're flying, once we take off, and for instance, say if I was flying to Washington, I would have to fly at a certain altitude, and we use the controllers to, we use radar, and we're on radar, and we're controlled by the controllers, aviation controllers. But in my area, there is no restricted areas.
And your request, sir, would be, if we were to follow what Mr. Willard presented, no more than 2 helicopter landings per week.
What I told Mr. Willard, I really, I had people call and say, can I land? We may not have a helicopter in there for a month or 2 months, but then we may have 2 or 3 in a couple of weeks. So, but I gave him an average. I said, if you took an average on a year, there would be no more than that.
Would you see perhaps say the vagueness of that as being an enforcement hazard if this request were acted on favorably and neighbors read these particular conditions and they said, well, you know, there was that third daggone helicopter this week, if it was 2 was the maximum.
Actually what I would like is I'm saying an average. Mm-hmm. So using an average, we're talking about over a period of a year. Mm-hmm. I don't like to limit myself to a week. As Alan said, he flies 2 months at maybe 2 months out of the year, and it's maybe a couple weeks out of the month, and the rest of the time he's not there. So I don't want to tell you that, yes, there's not going to be any helicopters this month, because I don't know that for sure.
So insofar as trying to enforce something like that, would you agree with me that that could present a difficulty to the department?
That's why I list it as private, because I can control who lands and who doesn't, even though I've never turned away a pilot. But at least I know what's going on.
You know, it seems to me, Mr. Smith, you do have that with any conditional use. This is obviously unique, judging by at least how the locals, residents have mobilized in response to what they thought was going to go on here. I imagine if the conditions were out there, that they could do likewise, you know, if there's abuse of it. You know, and it's in this day and age with, you know, photographs and things like that, it's not too hard to record that if they're, you know, people are looking out for it. I mean, you're always going to have some enforcement problem with conditional uses, but as you said, he keeps logbooks and things like that, and the people that would really have to enforce it were the people that I think that some of the people that came wrote to the commission and are concerned about the volume. Mm-hmm. And that's how it should be, really.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you acknowledge that on conditional uses that are granted, that there are violations of those granted conditional uses. And that's to be expected?
Oh, absolutely not. If it happens, it should be, you have provisions in your code where if somebody's in violation of their conditional use, it can be yanked, and that's what should happen. I'm just saying, as far as, I don't know all the county's resources, but usually if a conditional use is, you know, like the sports facility or something like that, you need hours of operation. It'll usually come to the county's attention by some of these neighbors saying, you know, this has been the third week in a row that we are having kids out there all night, and then you do your investigation and file a violation to notice to yank it. So, it's up to the county how they choose to enforce it. But if we propose a condition, we fully expect to adhere strictly to it. Period. Amen.
And no fuel storage on the site?
None whatsoever. Never has been.
Chemicals for the aviators that do the crop dusting?
None that is stored there. They're brought there on a truck.
They're on the truck in a...
Yes.
In a
sealed area.
Fiberglass drum.
Yes. None are disposed of there. They're hauled away.
Have you done any studies of any of the decibel levels, the noise levels? I'm trying to think along with, if I were a neighbor there, and with the reading that I did, were the people talking about property values, noise?
I have not done any studies. When I put the airstrip in, there might have been two or three farmhouses on the east end. On the west end, you would probably go a half a mile before you hit a farmhouse going out the west end. There's nothing out there but farmland. When I put the airstrip in, there were just a very few houses. Since there has been some build, which I never objected to, I figured they were entitled to buy a piece of land and use it as they wanted, and, you know, and I figured I had the same right.
Do you plan to put in any additional buildings?
My intentions are not to now. I did apply for a pole building. We're calling the helipad. That was going to be a pole building, which a storm tore down. I removed that building, and all was there was cement. But I'm not saying I might want to put a building back someday, and if I did, I would go to planning and zoning and apply for that, as I did before.
What do you use now, ground tie-downs and wheel chocks?
We do if they're outside. My personal airplane is in a hangar with doors.
That's all the questions I have now, sir.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Gordy?
I got a question for Mr. Corman.
Mr. Corman?
Thank you.
Alan.
And while he's coming up, Mr. Willard, is the runway lit now? Is it lighted now?
Mr. West, is the runway lit now in any way?
The runway has been lit. At this point, it is not lit. Okay. We might light it again someday.
But when it is lit, I mean, when somebody calls in and has to land, you would light it? You would turn the lights on, or is it on all the time?
It is not on all the time. No. No.
We'll spin that meter.
And if they were, they're low-density lights. They're not shining in someone's window.
Right.
You can mostly see them from up. You don't really recognize them from the ground.
All right. Corman, how would you describe the importance of spraying pesticides with airplanes in the last 10, 15 years?
I'm sorry, say that again.
How would you describe the importance of using aircraft, of applying pesticides in the last 10, 15 years?
Very, very important.
Okay. What's the advantage of spraying pesticides with airplanes?
Well, there's several. Getting a lot of acres done in a short period of time. When you have rain or it's wet, ground equipment can't operate in the fields. Ground equipment carries disease from one field to another. Aircraft doesn't. There's several. And you don't have the, like a soil compaction, you don't have the yield loss with the airplane, and plus we can do a lot of acres in a short time. That's why we're not there that long a period of time. And all of our, I just wanted, why I wanted to come up is just explain that all of our trucks are that we come down with DOT, We have all of our permits. We have DOT gas tanks, MC306, which is tested every year. We got an excellent safety record with the FAA. And I would like to, we have workshops. We have the FAA come to our facility, Department of Ag, Soil Conservation, the International Arrow Applicator Association. We've had about every 2 or 3 years we hold these workshops because our National Arrow Applicator Association asks us to. And with all the regulatory people and the whole state is invited and they all come and we do demonstrations, mixing, protective equipment. So forth and so forth. I want to come up and just add, I would like anybody that's uncomfortable with the airplanes operating out there, I'd like to invite them to our facility to see our maintenance program. We got an excellent maintenance program there. And I just would like to invite everybody to come over. Anybody in opposition to this, it's uncomfortable with the airplanes, I'd like to come over, let them do a walkthrough through the hangar, and we'll explain everything to them, how we maintain them, and so forth. Okay. That's all I got.
Thank you. Okay. That's all the questions.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Johnson?
Thanks. Just some points of clarification. Am I correct in that there's only been the one citation or violation that's been submitted on this property?
Mr. West, I only know of one. I almost said Your Honor, Mr. Johnson.
I received a letter from Planning and Zoning, and as I said, I responded.
That's the only one. That's the only violation that you're aware of?
To my knowledge, there's no others, okay. No. If there is, I'm not aware of them.
And what about the use of airplanes with pulling the banners?
We don't allow that.
Has that happened in the past?
Years ago it did. Has been many years ago.
And many years, 5 years, 10 years?
Might have been a banner pulled out of there 10 years ago.
Okay.
And really, the banner that was pulled out of there was for a birthday party.
And at the present time, who?
Actually, it was a friend of mine. We flew a banner to wish him a happy birthday.
There you go.
Yeah.
And presently, who's using the airport?
Who is using the airport?
Yes.
I'm
on a regular basis.
I, my daughter, my wife. I should put that in order. Myself, my wife, and my daughter. I might be reprimanded for that later. Reprimanded. Numerous people that own houses at Bethany Beach, South Bethany, they have homes there, summer homes. They do fly down for the summer. You'll hardly ever see an airplane in the winter unless they come down to check on their home. But during the summer, they're there maybe every other weekend or something. They'll fly in. And usually they're not all there at the same time. You might have a couple airplanes this weekend. Next weekend, you might have one or none. Depending on the weather. If the weather's bad, they don't fly because there are not any instrument approach systems there on that airport, so it has to be good weather.
And should your application be looked upon favorably, what would you see as being different?
Nothing. Nothing.
So presently, you do have occasional landings by helicopters that are not emergency?
Yes.
Helicopters?
Yes.
And they all use your 15-foot wide dirt road to...
Yes.
Okay. Where do you store the fuel for your own plane?
It's stored at Sussex County Airport, where I purchase fuel, Joseph R. Hudson's, and Ocean City Airport.
Okay. And in looking at the Deldot letter, they make reference to supporting a public airport. Are we talking about a public airport or are we talking about a private airport?
I have not been approached about that. I guess that was in one of the meetings that DelDOT had, but I have never been asked to. I've never been asked that question.
So your application tonight pertains to a private airport, not a public?
Exactly. Well, I guess you would say it is kind of public, but I control it by calling it private. And another thing is when it's private, you can protect yourself from any person flying in that you don't know. So they have to have permission to fly in. So it's really private, but it's only public if I allow them to fly in.
So it's of a quasi-public nature?
Yes.
Private. Thank you. And your the length of your runway is 3,000?
3,000 feet.
And your intention is to continue that as a grass airstrip?
Yes, I am.
With perhaps addition in the future of the low-level landing lights?
Yes.
That might be the only change in?
Yes.
Perhaps a building someday?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. There will never be any fuel stored there.
And there'll never be any banners towed unless you got another friend has a birthday party.
No.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
And your reference to the low-level lights, they exist now, or did you have them removed?
I did remove them, yes.
Do you have any intent to build any additional hangars?
Not at this point. I'm not saying someday. I have a daughter that flies. She's military. She may want to come home and have her own airplane. I hope she does. So if so, I would probably build her a hangar.
Well, yes. I ask that question because the conditional use you may receive if it's approved may not permit a hangar since you haven't requested it. So,
well, as I stated,
if you may desire additional hangar, you should say so now.
I may desire additional hangar.
I think you just got your answer.
Yes.
Just one additional, I assume.
I don't know. She may have children. Well, she does have children. So does my other daughter have children. So I'm going to say, and, you know, I can't put a limit on that, but let's just say this. I'm not planning on making a commercial storage area for airplanes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Counts.
I think all of these questions point out a concern that if this is approved, how do we know what we've approved? Where does the line end on the private use, and when does it transition to BWI, as you used earlier?
I think
if you look at the proposed conditions that you've submitted here, the property shall be used as an airport. That's pretty wide open. The airport shall be used for private use unless approved for public use by state and aviation regulations. So if you meet those regulations under this conditional use, you'd be able to have BWI.
Well, I'm using extremes,
obviously, but the point is that the conditional use conditions that you've suggested are pretty general. How can we tighten this up so that from an enforcement standpoint, when you go to the third helicopter landing in a week, what help can you give the commission in tightening this up?
Well, the key to tightening it up is what we try to do with the condition I've added, reference the no more than 9 landings or takeoffs per day, and then no more than...
Here, by the way.
Yeah, I know. We're adding it as something, because we see that as an issue, you know, and we're not trying to get that by anybody. When he says, Mr. West, I want to just preserve the status quo, that's a way of doing it. Just no more than that many planes, at least, and no more than that many helicopters. You could add a condition that he's required to keep a logbook. That might be a work, you know, he does that anyway, and that might be a good thing. Show us your logbook. And there, if you have a picture of a plane down the road that it's not on his logbook, then you would have an issue and things like that. But the condition that it be private, he controls who comes in and out there, that he keeps a logbook, and you have a fixed volume, although it's unique to a landing strip condition. It's not unlike other conditions you may set for use in conditional uses as far as occupancy or things like that. I think that answers your question. If I'm not sure how else you would control it either.
I'm just looking for ideas that can help the commission out if they were going to approve it. That's
the question was, what keeps it from becoming a BWI? One reason it can't become a BWI is because we don't have the length.
Yeah.
Well, to become you have to have paved runway, which we have said we're not going to do.
Okay.
We can't land heavy airplanes due to a sod field.
Excuse me just for a second.
That's all.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think before we get in too heavy of a discussion about possible conditions, we need to at least hear what the opposition has to say. Mr. Abbott, you have any questions?
Yes, sir.
I have a couple. I do want to follow up on that because we've talked about the conditions that you've proposed. For the record, though, one thing that hasn't been made clear is how you're going to police it, because I'm hearing that you have a logbook and folks call you. Maybe give the commission the benefit of some understanding where you are on a daily basis with respect to that airport, what control you have, I mean physical control over that airport, you know, to
make sure
that these conditions are being cleared.
I'm going by past records.
No, I want to know, like, where you live, how often you're there, how you're going to make sure that there's not other people that are landing there.
Okay. I live, actually, with the way the crow flies, about half a mile from there.
Okay.
I am in and out of there most days. I won't say I'm there every day because I'm not.
Right. Okay.
Usually, I always know the condition of my airstrip, so I'm constantly checking to see if it's soft or if it's hard or what have you. You know, so we do know what's going on.
Okay, and because, you know, Mr. Willis proposed that 9 landings a day, you know, and I was trying to get a feel for how you would know that it's been 5 or it's not.
Actually, we can see the airplanes landing from my home farm.
Okay. Right.
So, actually, many, many a time I have seen a plane flying over, and I've taken off and gone out my airstrip, and the plane went right on. So I just wanted to see who it was because I didn't recognize the airplane. Most people that fly in my airport, I recognize their airplanes.
One other question relating to proposed conditions. You said that there wouldn't be any fuel stored on the site, but then E says no storage of fuel or hazardous material should be stored unless in accordance with state and federal laws and regulations.
That was me trying to think of agricultural products, and I just wanted to be, because there are certain requirements if you have agricultural products like fertilizer and things like that. I wasn't trying to get a fuel tank in there. I just was.
Okay.
I know that it's tilled, so.
So like Mr. Corman, when he's flying in, he's filling up on the ag, the pesticides or whatever.
Right, that's what he brings
fuel.
His own tanks.
He brings his own fuel.
Okay. Well, is he storing it on site for those 2 weeks that he's there?
No.
Okay.
They drive down.
It's in and out like daily. All right, then leave it there overnight. Or okay.
I won't say that the truck could stay there overnight.
Okay.
With
but it's
fuel
on a vehicle.
Pardon me?
It's on a vehicle.
Right. Yes, it is. Yes.
Right. In a tank
no different than me as a farmer. I have a fuel tank on the back of my pickup.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like water trailers.
Yeah, right in the middle of the water. And then the last question, I just want to clarify something, because I'm looking at a survey that's unclear to me on who owns the land. I mean, is it you and your wife that own the land?
That is correct.
Okay, because it looks like it's, well, I don't know, there's reference to Richard and Sonia West, Barry and Lynn Morin, and Nicholas and Julie Caprios.
The airstrip piece is strictly Richard and Sonia West.
Okay, so it's going to
be the piece we're talking about tonight.
Okay, that's what I want to make sure I understood. All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. No other questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the gentleman, yes, we have
it. I have some proposed finding of facts I'd like to hand to Mr. Robertson.
Please do.
And I think there was a mention of a possible hangar, if it's a condition that he'd be interested in. The dimensions, I think, would be reasonable, would be 80 by 80 if that's something. We didn't ask for it specifically, but I guess now we're amending our condition.
Okay, well, you're on the record. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of, it's been so long, I've lost my list here. Conditional use number 1735, Richard and Sonia West.